Psychophysiology is psychology and physiology. So psychology is the behavior, physiology is the body.
Hey everyone, Nathan Long here, president of Saybrook University, right here in beautiful Pasadena, California. It is truly sunny today. I think I've kicked off the last few episodes talking about how sunny it is. Just not long ago, we had the hurricanes come through Southern California, unlike anything you've ever seen, but we're back to normal. So welcome again to another episode of Saybrook Insights. Today, I'm interviewing Ms. Rebecca Walker, who's a graduate of Saybrook University's psychophysiology program. Since her undergrad, Rebecca has been connected to the mental health field. In 2014, she and her husband implemented a neurofeedback program for an agency, and then in 2016, they started their private practice, Walker Therapy Services, that married psychotherapy and neurofeedback together. They get an A-plus for doing this business together as a married couple and coming out on the other side with two beautiful kids and a couple degrees to boot, along with a thriving practice and career track for both. So really good stuff. As a result of wanting to know more about the brain, she came to Saybrook University and obtained a master's in applied psychophysiology. She's now with a company called iMedisync, which is revolutionizing mental health care. We're going to learn more about her work in this space, especially how one merges mental health care with neurofeedback. The linkages are interesting. They're fascinating to me, and I'm sure they will be to you, especially when we peel back all those little layers, and along with her work at iMedisync. All right, let's get to it with Ms. Rebecca Walker. Hello, Rebecca Walker. It is such a great pleasure to have you on. Rebecca is a former student, now alumni, alumna, and has been really an advocate for Saybrook. She's on our alumni council doing really great work. Rebecca, thank you for being here on Saybrook Insights today.
My pleasure, President Long.
I love that. I always worry that I'm in trouble, though, when people use my official title. So Nathan is cool. So,
right.
So Rebecca, tell us a little bit about the Rebecca before Saybrook. You have a really cool story. I know you've done a lot of different things. What were some of those formative experiences you had pre-Saybrook?
I really enjoyed education. I love getting education in any form that I can. Knowledge is power. And I went to school at Brigham Young University. And there I gained more of a passion for human development as well as mental health and relationships in that sense. And that kind of rooted into me a desire to help in the mental health world. That's how I met my husband as well. My husband is a marriage family therapist, and we have a private practice in Henderson, Nevada. And learning about systems and boundaries and dynamics has really helped me see the world in a new lens to kind of navigate my own relationships. And so I'm grateful for the education I've received and seeking more education through Saybrook.
How is it being married to a therapist? If I can ask that question. And you said you've learned a lot about how to navigate relationships. I'm sure it's an interesting experience. So whatever you're willing and able to share is cool. I'd love to learn more.
Of course. That's like one of the first comments everyone asks.
Okay.
Because my undergrad is marriage, family, human development, I have a similar brain to that therapy approach. So we can kind of, you know, I can hold my own. But where it helps is, for instance, we learn more about dynamics. Like my husband is a withdrawer. He'll withdraw from a situation, and I'm a pursuer. So like in emotional, MFT, emotional focus therapy, it's that dance we do. I pursue, he withdraws. I pursue, he withdraws. And it creates this more frustrating dynamic for both of us. So kind of just knowing that helps me kind of see where he's coming from, or maybe take a different approach. I, you know, we still have that dynamic, But I feel like it definitely gives me more vocabulary too. Like we can be like, you know, I'm being vulnerable right now and I feel like you're invalidating, you know, like it gives us some words to express ourselves better. So overall, I think it's a win.
That's great. Well, and marriage is work, right? I mean, no matter who, what, when, and being in a marriage with a therapist probably has a lot of benefits as well. That's pretty cool. So you all started this business together, it sounds like. My wife and I have dabbled into me helping her with her business, and I'm probably not as, I was not as good at it as I probably could have or should have been. So how did that all transpire, and how did that work for you all? You're still doing it, I presume. Is that fair to say?
That in and of itself is a long story, but basically we were working for agencies and there was some mental health drama within agencies and it was starting to affect us. You know, one company didn't pay us and another person we worked for was a sociopath. And so I always say it's like beauty from the ashes. We knew one day we would own our own business, but we thought that was like years down the road. And because of these hardships working for agencies, we were kind of forced to start working for ourselves. And it was super scary because you're responsible for your paycheck. It's not someone giving it to you. But it pushed us outside of our comfort zones to do something that we wanted to do probably 20 years earlier than what we thought we would be doing it. And so long story short, all the trauma and drama resulted in a blessing for us.
And what exactly is your business? What are you focused in that area?
Yeah, we're Walker Therapy Services. And so we do talk therapy as well as neurofeedback. And for those unfamiliar with neurofeedback, we use EEGs. It's a sensor that we put on the scalp to read brain waves. And brain waves are in different frequencies. And from that, we can interpret how a person's brain is functioning. And I like to say, you know, a heart surgeon looks at the heart, a mental health practitioner looks at the brain, and they kind of go hand in hand.
How cool. And what gave you both the idea to merge that? Not everyone has the intuition or the connectivity to neurofeedback in practices. So what was the inspiration there?
My husband met someone who did neurofeedback and she tried it on him. She was, you know, if you do neurofeedback, everybody in the field of neurofeedback loves it. And the clients love it. They love it. And so she was just sharing her passion with us. And Preston, my husband, has ADHD. So he tried it. And he noticed after the first session that it helped. And we were at this time, you know, we've been married 10 years, but we were probably married like our first year of marriage. We found out about this. And he comes to me and he says, oh, we got to do neurofeedback. Like, it's really, really cool. And I was on board, but it's a little bit of an investment. And we're like this newly married, struggling financially. So I'm like, I know one day we will, but it's not today because we're, you know, we're struggling with rent.
Yeah.
And then eventually it came to the point where we just felt so inspired and had personal revelation that we needed to do neurofeedback. And kind of like starting our own business, we were scared to invest in that. And but we knew that that was the direction for us and that's what we needed to do. So we took out a business loan and we bought equipment and we started integrating it. And I call it my second baby. We just had my son at the time. And the neurofeedback was like more expensive than my baby. So that's how we started going. And we're glad we had that push to do so and to kind of get over our fear of taking out a loan.
How interesting. How cool. And when you all really have, you've been in this business for a few years now, you know, talk a little bit about the initial business development. Did you learn early on, you know, a lot of the, not only the pitfalls, but some of the advantages? Like, what were some of the opportunities and challenges that you experienced in that process?
you have the license to be very creative with what you want to implement and how you want to implement it. You got to think outside the box, you know, just furnishing an office, for example. Like, I bought all of my chairs on an auction site, you know, so I was like, yay, $10 a chair instead of like $100. So you get to be as creative as you want to be, but there's also this pressure that you are the one providing the office chairs, you know, the very small details. Insight we learned was finding ways to delegate your time, because money is time. And so we found that we would be busy working and we wouldn't be able to answer the phone for new clients because we were working. And so as a result, we were losing money. So we outsourced a call center, and it's an online virtual call center. They're 24/7. So now when we're working, we aren't losing incoming clients. And the same thing, we found we were losing money with billing, because you're wearing all the hats. You're a biller, a therapist, an administrator, a call center. So we're trying to get rid of some hats. And one of those hats was we hired a billing company. And even though they take a percentage of what they bill, we were saving money because you could only back bill for so far, and we would make mistakes and not follow up. And so learning real fast, oh, we're losing money, we need to outsource this, and kind of building your team to help you be successful.
You have just hit on something so, so, so important about basics in business, but so many people don't get out of the gate, right? And they're craving for that. We're talking at Saybrook about creating sort of a new approach to supporting folks like yourselves, right, who are new to practice, right, coming into it, that MBA in a box, the key things you need that you didn't anticipate. Like, I love what you just said, because I, you know, of course you need a biller, but I wouldn't have thought, I mean, I'd have been like yourselves, you know, I'd be, oh yeah, I guess I need a biller. Oh, and a scheduler. Yeah, I need someone to help with those things. Because as you know, time is money, money is time. So yeah, yeah, very great point. So you got into this business, you were doing this, and then you found your way to Saybrook University, and here you were. How did you find Saybrook? What was it that appealed to you about the program you ended up entering?
Yeah.
Clearly there's a connection to neurofeedback, but yeah.
Oh, obviously. So obvious. First off, we started doing neurofeedback at our practice, and we're like, oh, there's a lot to know here, and we're invested in doing this the right way, not just, you know, slap it on someone's head and call it good. We want to be educated. And we had a business coach at the time. Again, we're looking for people that had more skills than us to kind of role model after them. And so we had a business coach, and that was another investment. And my business coach actually mentioned Saybrook, and he's like, man, I've been considering going to Saybrook, or, you know, and so we looked into it, and Saybrook met three needs. They kind of met the three criteria I had. And the first one was, they were the only grad school psychophysiology program in the nation. And that was huge. It kind of limits my choices right there.
Yeah, we got that one.
That was amazing. My other need was, I needed to continue to work with my husband to run our practice. And so it needed to be a virtual online kind of format. And then the third one was, I also needed to still be mom. When I entered Saybrook, I had a 1.5-year-old. When I left Saybrook, I had a 3-year-old and a newborn. So it met the criteria that allowed me to be mom, do work, and attend school at my convenience. And so I'm very grateful that I was able to do that.
My hat goes off to you for being mom A, working A, B, and then C, being mom number two again, in addition to your mom number three of neurofeedback. Wow, that's a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember I had my daughter April 25th, and that was like nearing the end of the semester. And I'm like, I got to write this paper like a week early just so I can turn it in and not have to worry about it when I go into labor. So I definitely was not procrastinating on that course for sure.
That is amazing. So you get a special mark on your diploma. You should for that. That's really terrific. That's great. So you went through the psychophysiology program, and we've had a couple folks from psychophysiology on here, including an alumna. But I always find it helpful if, in your own words, you know, you can describe what psychophysiology is. Sounds kind of, I don't know, strange, right? And then so you figure it out. And it's like, oh, this is amazing. There's so many, you know, intricacies to it. So maybe if you could explain to our audience what it is and why you found it so, why you find it so useful in mental health support.
Yeah. So to be honest, when I signed up for the program, I didn't know what psychophysiology was. So I did a lot of Googling to try and figure it out. And eventually I learned to explain it. Like, psychophysiology is psychology and physiology. So psychology is the behavior. Physiology is the body. So it's how the behavior and the body interrelate together. So for instance, with anxiety, we know that there's this connected circle where anxiety can be created. If I start breathing a certain way right now, I can hyperventilate, not because I'm anxious, but because I'm breathing different. And so breathing and muscle tension and emotion kind of all interrelate to anxiety. So if I can measure my breath work, then it can influence my behavior of anxiety. So it's this beautiful relationship between the mind and the body in that sense.
And you can, with neurofeedback, with the tools you use, are you able to then chart it in real time? Like, kind of, here's what the brain is doing, the electrical waves are doing, or what's happening when someone is anxious or depressed or excited or what have you?
Yeah. So for instance, with ADHD, that is a frontal lobe difficulty. They have a lot of excess theta. Theta is a slow brainwave. It's about 4 hertz or so. And that's why a lot of times you're wondering, why does someone with ADHD that's hyperactive take a stimulant? Wouldn't that just make them more hyper? Well, the answer is, they're hyperactive because it's their body's way of naturally trying to compensate for that slow brainwave. They're trying to like up the activity. So when you take a stimulant, it speeds up that brainwave so you can focus and be still and calm more. And so that's kind of a neat dynamic there.
Interesting.
But with neurofeedback, we're able to measure, oh, yeah, you have a slow brainwave dominance there. And this could be a possible symptom of ADHD. Let's train your brain to kind of speed up. And so we can reward other brainwaves and suppress like the theta brainwave to encourage it and reinforce the better activity of the brain.
Very good. Wow. It's like you should teach this as well.
Oh, well, maybe one day I'll be Professor Walker.
I think a PhD is in your future, Rebecca.
Oh, I do. I think so.
Yeah, that was really, really well stated. And I think for our general audience, I like so many people hear about it. And then when the switch flips for a lot of folks, they're like, oh, that makes so much sense, you know, that you can really track that. That's really great. So when you look at the kind of span of your work and your business, and please don't have to share individual stories, but if you have anecdotes, where have you seen this really play out in a way that has either benefited mental health or given you or your husband or both of you more insights into clients that you've been working with? What has emerged for you from there?
I think two things. First off, I feel more compassionate for human beings in general, because I get a look at what their brain is telling me. You know, we had a man with an anger management problem. And if you look at his brain and how he has this inability for impulse control, or it explains why it's harder for him to keep his temper under wraps. Now, it doesn't justify it by any means, but it helps me be more compassionate by, you know what, your brain struggles in different ways than my brain does. And I don't know what that's like. And that must be really hard, but way to be coming to therapy to try and help with this. And so that's probably the biggest thing, is I'm a more compassionate person because of it. I think the second one is, you know, we all want to do a career that's fulfilling. And for us, what's fulfilling is when we see success with our clients. And when we had agoraphobic person that's afraid to go outside, afraid to do anything. They're a high school student. They were in a band, and their mom basically took them everywhere if they went somewhere. And this person would throw up every day because of anxiety, every single day. And after doing neurofeedback, they were able to go out to the store alone without their mom for the first time in years. They were able to go out with their friends. They were able to like have a quality of life given to them. And they no longer threw up every day. It was about once a month. And that was when right before a band performance where you normally have some anxiety to perform there. And to me, it's those stories that are like, wow, like what I'm doing, like, yes, it's paying the bills. Awesome. But it is affecting people's lives, and I get to see that. I get to see that their testimonies of it.
That is so wonderful. I really appreciate that. I think a tangible example is so, so helpful. When you were at Saybrook, tell us a little bit as an alumna, what was your experience like? And what have you, like, what do you treasure about it? What are you doing now as an alumna? Working through that.
Okay. I feel like all of these questions I could spend forever on, so I'll try to keep it short.
I know.
But
I know.
My first experience with Saybrook was going to the RC, and it was in person. And I remember meeting my friend Elaine, and she said, Saybrook has saved my life. And I remember being like, okay, that's kind of extreme. And you know, she's like, they're my family. And oh, I just love this sense of family. And now having graduated, I understand what she meant about that familial community. And like, I am a Saybrookian. I have pride in that. I feel a part of the family. You know, I feel a connection all the way up from my classmates and my peers to administrative staff. To you, Nathan, and like this Saybrook is my family, and it's also a great networking platform to kind of springboard me into my goals. Because I attended Saybrook, I've had the privilege to work with many wonderful people. Currently, I'm working with Dr. Cynthia Kirsten to do my very first publication.
All right.
So I kind of feel excited about that. I also was able to start to found and organize the Saybrook Psychophysiology Student Association, or ESPA for short.
That's awesome.
And I feel like had I gone anywhere else, I would not have had that opportunity to create a student association. Saybrook showed me the way that it was an option. They gave me the required rules that I needed to follow and the forms I needed to submit. And they were able even to fund us having a monthly guest speaker. And that was probably the hardest thing I've done my whole Saybrook career, but the most rewarding. And it's a legacy in a way, because any Saybrook student can join it. And they can influence it. And our motto for our association is, we're here to bridge the gap from course to career. Mm-hmm. And so anything you feel is lacking, I know, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was...
Well done.
Anything you feel is lacking in your education, you can use a student associations or other avenues to provide you with whatever you want. If we want to learn more specifically about this subject, we have guest speakers come to us. We, you know, and it's just, I wouldn't have had that anywhere else. I don't think. I might have been too intimidated or just didn't really think I was the leader for that. And so that was a great part of my Saybrook experience. And then your last question with the alumni, we were actually planning an alumni association meeting Because we want to hear, we call it the alumni voice. We want to hear what the alumni wants and how we can network and collaborate better. So we're planning a speed networking event October 17th, 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific time.
Virtual?
Yeah. And actually, it'll be on your calendar too, because I know you're going to give us a little introduction there.
It is. I'm on there. Yeah, I'll be there.
So we're creating a digital business card from, I believe it's Hi Hello, and we'll be able to network, and it's like speed dating, but speed networking, and we'll have some guest speakers as well. So we're just trying to let the alumni know we exist. We want your support, your input. We have two co-council chairs that are open for positions. So if you want to be a part of the committee, we would love to have you. And Carmen's been steerheading all our initiatives, and she's just been amazing with doing that.
Look at that. Great leadership all the way through. And to your point, like running a student group, like leading a student group or an alumni group for that matter, is tough. But then starting it from scratch like you did with the psychophys, I mean, that's a lot to do. And hats off to you and the crew that got behind it. And you're right, it's such a legacy to leave behind, because this program is going to be around for quite some time. And I think you've really generated a good foundation for it. So well done.
Thank you. And if anyone that's listening wants my advice or counsel, reach out to me, because like, you can start one too, and in the interest that you're pursuing.
So we got business advice, student leadership advice. I mean, like you've got a few rounds of potential income and opportunity and networking there, I think.
Maybe that's great.
So the last question I have before we get into our final two is your work with iMedisync. I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly. You have a real passion for that. I was reading around what you're doing there. Can you talk a little bit about the company and how does it support the work you're doing right now? I saw the helmet, which is cool.
Oh, yes. I should have worn it. First off, I love, love, love my job. It is like another family. And everyone's desire to help the mental health field is just so superb. My favorite thing about iMedisync is that they really do a lot of research, and they're passionate about researching what they do, what they put out, and that stood out to me. I actually got my job because of my networking connections at Saybrook.
Oh, wow.
And so another form of advice is go to those conferences, network. It's not always what you know, it's who you know. And as a result, that's how I came to know iMedisync, was through different connections at Saybrook. And I even had Dr. Kirsten write my letter of recommendation, and she was the one that was fundamental in helping them be FDA approved.
Oh, wow. Great.
Yeah. So I had a really good resume. And what iMedisync is they're an AI integrated mental health care platform. So we are doing research about AI, machine learning, deep learning, biomarkers for different neurological diseases. So right now we've commercialized the AMCI, that's the mild cognitive impairment biomarker, for early signs of dementia or Alzheimer's with a 92% accuracy. And they're just wrapping up a study about doing EEG biomarkers for Parkinson's disease and depression. And then they'll continue to research for strokes and like PTSD, ADHD. And they'll just keep going and they'll just keep building.
That's huge.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to go to Montreal a few months ago because they were doing a research study with a Korean population in Canada. And I had a moment of like, how did I get here? Because we collected 110 brain scans in the course of, 4 or 5 days. And every day we had our translator, a Korean translator, and every day we would sign our name to check in. And it's a list of just Korean names. And then there's my little English scribble. And I definitely look like I don't belong there because I'm writing in English instead of Korean. And I'm like, how did I get here? I went from being in Saybrook, learning about what an IRB is and the process of researching, to like being here collecting data for a research study in a language I don't even understand. And like, it was just a for real moment.
You don't know how uplifting and wonderful that is to hear. I mean, it is, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, that's a great testament to not only your education at Saybrook, but also to you. I mean, you took the, you've had the inspiration, you've put in the perspiration to get to where you're at. So really, really, that is so, so great. Great. I mean, thank you for that. As we close out today, and you're right, we should do more time together. And I'm thinking members from your iMedi-Sync family should be on this podcast. Right? All right. Let's get it to work out. I think it would be great because it sounds like you all are doing some amazing things. We have two questions we ask of all of our guests, and you can bet that I think you're going to give some really fabulous answers. So the first question, and these are just top of the mind, you don't have to, you know, not long, just short, quick thoughts. What does the term humanistic mean to you?
To me, it means human kindness. And at Saybrook, they not only teach about human kindness, but they're exemplary in their efforts to educate us about being kind. Whether that's like the Black Activists Association or the Queer Alliance Association, and just having more compassion for one another, that I feel like I've never been to a university where there's so much diversity in people's beliefs, their religion, their goals, and somehow we're able to all get along, even though we might have a different lifestyle or a different path. And to me, that's humanistic, is like just loving one another, respecting one another, that core human being ability.
That's a high five answer right there, right through the screen. Awesome. And lastly, because you're in the mental health and well-being field, what are three things people can do right now, just three simple things a person can do right now to improve or enhance their mental health or personal physical well-being?
The first I would say is have an attitude of gratitude. When you are constantly positive, you will attract things that are uplifting and positive, and you'll avoid that negativity, which will pull you down. And the second thing is to censor yourself. Censor your self-talk. I just saw this quote today. I screenshotted it on my phone. It says, it's not what you say to everyone else that determines your life. It's what you whisper to yourself that has the greatest power.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really good.
You know, all these times you're doing things that are fearful or you don't think you're good enough. I've had so much imposter syndrome. You know, in some ways I still do. But if I let that eat me up, it's just going to like drag me down. And the third thing would be, a quote from Elsa is to let it go. When you hold on to that negativity, there's tons of research on forgiveness and how those who don't forgive, it affects you physically and mentally. And that isn't healthy for your body or your soul. And it's easier to let things go when you know, if you can understand that you don't understand the whole picture. And kind of bringing this full circle is that neurofeedback piece helps me understand that I don't always understand what's going on in someone's brain and what their difficulties are, and not to take it as personal.
Beautiful. Well, Rebecca Walker, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. What an inspiring conversation. This meant a lot. Loved hearing your testimonial, but also all the fine work you're doing with iMedi-Sync and at Walker Therapeutic Services. Well done, and look forward to having you back. Where can people find you, you and your husband's business? What links do you want to provide to the community?
Oh, yes. So walkertherapyservices.com is our mental health practice. My email is Rebecca at imedisync.com. That's I, M as in Mary, E, D as in dog, I, S-Y-N-C, imedisync.
And it's Rebecca with a K.
Oh, yes. Thank you. R-E-B-E-K-A-H.
There you go.
And I wanted to say thank you. It's my birthday today. And so this is like a little birthday gift for me to get to talk about what I love.
We won't ask you how old you are, but we will say happy birthday to you. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
I want to thank Rebecca again. She was fabulous, and I hope you found her words inspiring, especially to those of you in our Saybrook community. Really, really great stuff. And I hope you'll reach out to Rebecca. She is truly, truly a wonderful human being and is there to support you as well. So hopefully you'll reach out. So remember Rebecca's three major takeaways. I thought these were terrific. Have an attitude of gratitude. And, you know, when we're thankful, when we're really focusing on the good and being grateful for it, that can really mean a lot to our own well-being. Censor your self-talk. I appreciate this probably more than she knows. Over the last many years, I've worked on this myself. It's that quote she gave, what you whisper to yourself has the greatest power. And it's so, so very true. So think about how you're talking internally. What are those thoughts going on? And how do you rewire, recondition yourself to think differently, especially about stuff, right, that's going on in your life? And thirdly, let it go. In the great song from Frozen, right? Let go of the negativity. Let go of it and move on. You know, find ways to redirect and re-energize. So if you want to see the YouTube version of this podcast, please visit our Saybrook YouTube page. If you'd like to support the podcast, go to Apple iTunes and leave that 5-star rating and review and subscribe so you can get episodes as I come out. If you're on Spotify, leave that 5-star rating and make sure to follow us. And you can, of course, subscribe to us on most major podcast platforms, including Google, Stitcher, Pandora, Pocket Casts, you name it, we're on them. Remember to check our show notes for information on today's guest, Ms. Walker, including links to websites, books, and the like. And for more about our university, go to www.saybrook.edu. Click on Areas of Study at the top of the page. Locate the program of your choice to learn more. In Rebecca's case, she went to psychophysiology, or simply Google Saybrook University. That's all for now, my friends. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your loyal listenership. Stay tuned for more.